here's Jack Patty.
Good morning. Welcome into the 9 to 10 show for this Friday, September the 25th. Brought to you by Landscaper's Corner. Get your lawn ready for fall with Triple Crown Elite Grass Seed. Available in 5, 25, and 50-pound bags. Call Landscaper's Corner at 225-9433. Our question of the day brought to you by United Structural Systems, your foundation repair and waterproofing experts. iFixFoundations.com, 859-254-7700. Our question is this. A Washington State school district has banned the game of tag, saying students need to keep their hands to themselves. How do you feel about that? Tell us at WVLKAM.com. Tune in for the results between noon and 3 with Cruiser and Crew. Ray Larson, you have an opinion about that?
I do.
What
is it? Another example of political correctness run amok.
Yep,
I think it's BS.
I agree. You're having an opinion on this one, too, I'm pretty sure. Yesterday we asked, should the Pope have been invited to the White House and to speak to Congress? 54% of our folks said, yes, he's the head of a nation and should be treated as such. 46% said, no, nation or no nation, it's still a church and state issue. Now, you're almost a Catholic. You're an Episcopalian. So what do you think?
Oh, I think the Pope is kind of he's become almost, in our country, almost a pop culture figure.
Yeah, he really has. He's so popular.
And, I don't have a problem with him addressing Congress. My suggestion, however, is since the Vatican is one of the wealthiest operations in the world, you kind of wonder, where does he get off telling everybody else how to operate, you know, their countries.
Right, exactly. So, yeah.
Yeah, I got
I heard him say
feelings.
This morning that you can't get into the, you know, get in to see him. There's some walls around where he lives.
Yeah.
And, so.
I wonder how they handle immigration in the Vatican.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We've had some really, really impressive guests, timely guests on this program during the last however many years we've been doing this. You got an extra good one this morning.
Yeah. Bob McCullough is the prosecuting attorney in St. Louis County, and he's been the elected prosecutor since 1991. He is the former president of the National District Attorneys Association. He is a straight-talking guy that people have called me something like that, but I'm just kind of an amateur when it comes to straight talking. And when this whole Ferguson thing blew up, I thought, not a better guy in the world to deal with this and not be cowed by it than Bob McCullough. Bob, thanks for being here.
Well, it's my pleasure, gentlemen. I'm happy to do it.
Honored to have you, sir.
Well, I didn't mean anything I said.
Well, I didn't think you did, Ray. I thought you were being a little bit on the humble side there, and I know that's not you. So,
No, you're right, Bob. You're absolutely right about that.
So tell us a little bit about your jurisdiction. We're looking at St. Louis County. Right. Is that mean that there's another St. Louis something?
Yes, there's a St. Louis City. The city itself is not part of St. Louis County. They decided to secede from the county back in about 1876, and so we surround the city on three sides, the Mississippi River on the other side, but they are a separate jurisdiction. St. Louis County is about a population of about 1 million. We have actually about 90, 91 municipalities.
Oh, my. That means
including the city of Ferguson.
Does that mean you get that many police departments?
Well, there are about 60, of the municipalities have their own police department. And then, of course, the county police department, which is the overarching, they patrol the entire unincorporated area, which is substantial. And they contract with about a dozen or so of the municipalities. And, for years we've been trying to have many others contract with the county, too, or take the county on, just because some just aren't in a position to be able to provide the level of law enforcement that all of our citizens deserve. So we're working in that direction.
The Now tell me, what's the difference? The difference in the populations between the city and the county?
Yeah, the city has a population of about 330,000, and the county is just over a million people.
The county is
about I'm going to say about 550-600 square miles, and the city is another 50 square miles.
There's another city that is essentially the same,
right.
And that's Baltimore County,
right.
And Baltimore City.
Right. Yeah.
And
the
I
only other one I'm aware of.
When we were early on, I'm in the National District Attorneys Association, and I learned, and there was the Baltimore City prosecutor was a woman named Pat Jessamy.
Right.
And the Baltimore County prosecutor was a woman named Sandra O'Connor, not the
Right.
Supreme Court
mm-hmm.
justice.
Mm-hmm.
And
Right.
the difference between those two jurisdictions was amazing, because Baltimore County almost never had a homicide. And in the Baltimore City was practically a shooting gallery.
Yeah.
They'd be happy to hear me say that, I know, but that's about what it was.
And East St. Louis is not even in Missouri, right?
Correct. Yeah, East St. Louis is in Illinois, straight across the Mississippi from the city of St. Louis.
Okay, so Bob, so you're sitting at home, relaxing, and all of a sudden you got this incident that occurs out in Ferguson. Tell us
right.
how you learned about it, and
right.
what were your first reaction to the whole thing?
Well, we have a large enough jurisdiction, and although we don't have an outrageously high number of homicides, we have enough that I have a homicide prosecutor on call 24 hours a day. And their responsibility is to do just that. When the police are notified of a homicide, they notify my prosecutor, who then generally will go to the scene of the homicide, not to lead the investigation or do anything, but we're there, so we can get working with the officers or the lead detectives at the time. So on August 9th last year, a very experienced prosecutor in my office had the call. And the ones that get that duty are all pretty experienced. Kathy had been with the office for almost 25 or more years. But actually, my family and I were on our way to a family vacation, heading to Michigan. And I got a call about 20 minutes after the shooting. And the initial report is basic. You know how those go. This was, hey, we got a call from county. They've been sent out to Ferguson. There's a police involved shooting. That's all the detail we have right now. I'll let you know as soon as I hear more. So about 15 minutes later, I got a call back from her saying that, hey, there are witnesses that are claiming that the guy who got shot was surrendering. He was down on his knees and the officer shot him. And about 15 minutes after that, I got another call saying, hey, there are witnesses who say that the guy who got shot was climbing in the car going after the cop and ended up getting shot. So we knew immediately there was going to be a lot of controversy with this, because those are two pretty different versions of what's going on there, and they're both very quick to come out of there. Police also told her that, look, the situation is getting pretty hot on the scene. There's a crowd gathering, and they're pretty agitated. It's, you know, this is a Saturday afternoon in St. Louis, and it's an August afternoon. So there are a lot of people around. It was warm out, and a lot of tension in the community to start with, in that small community, you know, an apartment complex inside the city of Ferguson. There is a lot of, you know, criminal activity within the complex, and unfortunately, all the good people who lived there were held hostage by the criminals. But in any event, there was a lot of hostility coming up that afternoon, and the police had to call in reinforcements to bring others out to try to control the crowd somewhat so they could get the investigation going. So we knew going on immediately that there was going to be a lot to this one. The stories in social media that started flying about immediately were all over the chart. You know, that the officer got out of the car and shot the guy, that the man was down on the ground and the officer stood over him and emptied his gun into him. Others that he chased him down, that he was down on his knees trying to surrender and he got shot. And the problem that we had is that his body had been covered almost immediately by the paramedics who were actually just happened by. They were at another call, and as they left that call and were driving down the road, they came upon this within minutes of the time the shooting had occurred. And so they examined Mr. Brown. There were no signs of life, and so they covered him with the sheets, you know, as we do in these cases. So within 10 minutes or so, his body was covered. So when all these stories are flying around, and now the crowd was getting a bit hostile, some in the crowd were, there was no way to examine the body. So nobody had any idea at that point how many times he had been shot, where he had been shot, where on his body, anything that was going on. So there was no way to counter any of the stories that were going out on social media.
Hold that thought, Bob. We have to take a break, but hold that thought, and we'll take up where we left off here. And along the way here, if you have a question or comment, 253-5959. Touch star 590 from AT&T, toll free from anywhere, 1-877-777-0590, or email jackpatty@wvlkam.com. It's 920, and if you need a loan, there's no hassle at the Castle, the biggest discounters of diamonds and fine jewelry. Three-day forecast brought to you by the Breeders' Cup. That's right, the Breeders' Cup Festival Horse Farm Tours. Ever wonder what it takes to make a great racehorse? Don't miss your chance for rare behind-the-scenes experiences at iconic stud operations and nurseries, world-renowned veterinary clinics, and more. October 25th through the 28th during the Kentucky One Breeders' Cup Festival. Tickets are $65 for adults, $35 for children. Get yours today at BreedersCupFestival.com. They're going fast, just like the horses. Brought to you by Cumulus Media and WKYT-TV. A portion of the proceeds will be donated to charity. Increasing cloudiness, showers this afternoon, high temperature in the low 70s. Tonight, cloudy, scattered showers, low of about 60. Then for Saturday, mostly cloudy, scattered showers, and a high in the low 70s. On Sunday, partly sunny with isolated showers and a high in the upper 70s. Right now, it's cloudy and 61. At your official weather station, News Talk 590 WVLK. Our friends over at Nature's Expressions are not only not sort of settling back for the winter, they're gearing up for the winter. We just want you to know that Nature's Expressions works 12 months out of the year, and they get a lot of their big projects done during the wintertime, because when you really think about it, we have lots of days during the winter where you can get out and work in the soil and so on. So if you've got an idea of a project for your house and you didn't get it done this spring or summer, by all means, give them a call at 885-0015. Somebody from Nature's Expressions will come out and take a look at your property and talk to you over a cup of coffee at your kitchen table, formulate a plan, and they can get that thing done for you by next spring, or maybe even before cold weather even gets here. What we'd love for you to do is check out their website, which is KentuckyBackyard.com. It'll give you some great ideas, and it'll also show you just how talented this company is. You can also check their Facebook page, where they post photographs of jobs that they're working on, and you can see the progress as they go. 885-0015, one heck of a company. I love these people and have known them for years and done a lot of business with them over the years. They're tops. It's an amazing bunch of people. Nature's Expressions.
News Talk 590 WVO.
Well, I certainly hope you stood up and shouted happy birthday on Friday. I'm Giff, and this is Tech Trends. Happy birthday to YouTube. Turned 10 last week. It's pretty amazing. It's gone from its very first video, which was a guy taking a trip to the zoo, to where it is today. It's not just cat videos that are on there. As a matter of fact, it is such a great place to learn new things. When I can't figure something out around the house how to fix it, I'll just YouTube it, and some expert has done it. Like fixing cars. I can't tell you how many things I've learned and saved myself some money by doing it myself. And it's not just some guy that's in a backyard covered in weeds going, "Hey, you do this." No, it's real experts and real shops. It's pretty amazing. But the number one video still remains Psy and Gangnam Style. 2.3 billion times we've watched that. and Justin Bieber's baby is number two. Happy birthday, YouTube. Thank you. And that is Tech Trends Today. Good luck out there.
Data transfer complete.
And Tech Trends Today is brought to you by the National Association of Realtors. Realtor.com is the most accurate home search site. Be sure to work with a realtor to help you through the process. Realtor.com and Realtors. Together, we make home happen.
I'm Jennifer Wild with Tech Trends, and today's Tech Trend will help you achieve your weight loss goals or your weight gain goals, whatever the case may be. You know, they say the way to achieve a goal is to visualize what it's going to look like once you have it, but that's really hard to do sometimes when your goal is your own body because you just can't see it. That's where this app, Visualize You, can help. Your inspiration doesn't have to be a photo of a celebrity on your fridge. It can actually be you. Now, the way it works is you download the app, Visualize You. You load your photo in, and then you tell it how much you weigh, how tall you are, and then what your goal weight is. And then the app's going to show you what you might look like once you hit your goal. Whether you want to lose some or gain some, it'll show you what you could look like. And as an added bonus, it also lets you cheat and thin yourself down or bulk yourself up in photos before you actually get there. So if you want to check it out, just go to your App Store or Google Play and search Visualize You.
Listen to News Talk 590 WVLK live anywhere, anytime at WVLKAM.com.
Back with Ray Larson and a very special guest this morning. He's the prosecutor in Ferguson, St. Louis County, and in the middle of the story, Ray, I'd let you jump in here and get us back into this quick segment. That's only about 4 minutes.
Okay, Bob. So your things are kind of heating up over there. So why don't you just pick it up where you left it?
I will do that. This entire occurrence took place in about 90 seconds from the time that Darren Wilson first saw Michael Brown, his companion, until the backup arrived. And so it takes obviously a lot longer to look into this. But as the investigation went on that day, it literally took the police investigators several hours to get to the point where they could actually begin the investigation. There were shots fired by the crowd at the police, and so they had to keep the medical examiner, investigator, anybody and everybody else who is not a law enforcement officer out of the scene, so that nobody wanted anybody else to get shot or injured in that. And Michael Brown's family did what they could to try to calm the crowd enough to let the police do the investigation. So they said the stories went on about what happened, none of which were accurate, but nobody knew that at the time because nobody had an opportunity, a chance to even examine the body. So once things were under control, I can't say calm, but under control enough that the police were able to get in to do the investigation, it proceeded as any homicide investigation would, no different than anything, any other type of crime or type of homicide. So they did a very thorough job, and in a very quick nutshell, they recovered all the shell casings. There were a total of 12 shots fired. They examined Mr. Brown, where he was, did the appropriate photographs and everything so that they could document everything, and then removed him as quickly as they could from the scene after that. And then did the entire area, locating two bloodstains that were approximately 25 feet further east. Now, that made a big difference down the line because Mr. Brown's body was about 150 feet east of the police vehicle, and about 25 or 30 feet further east, there was a blood stain to Mr. Brown, which clearly showed that he had been at that point and then was coming back towards the police officer. There were various witness accounts that corroborated that. Darren Wilson, also the officer, testified to the grand jury, but Ray, as you know, he's got an interest in this case, so you discount pretty much anything he had to say. We wanted him locked in to a story, which he did at the grand jury. But you don't rely upon that story. Anybody who's got such a vested interest in the situation. So we presented and determined to present everything to the grand jury.
I want to stop you here for a second. And
sure.
So during this period of time, I want to talk about a couple of things. Number one, how the national media narrative kind of took off and affected what you're trying to do. Second, your decision to present it to a grand jury, because Missouri is like a lot of states, but unlike Kentucky, in Kentucky, we have to present every felony to the grand jury. And in Missouri, it's different, isn't it?
Correct, yeah. In Missouri, there are a couple of things that are different. In Missouri, by the Constitution, a grand jury has the authority and the power to not only indict, but to investigate. And so that was something that, of course, the media missed or didn't pay any attention to, no matter how many times we said that. So there was a grand jury investigation ongoing. So they're able to bring witnesses in, interrogate them, gather evidence, investigate a case as any law enforcement agency would, in effect, basically, and then consider that all that information and evidence in determining whether any criminal charges should be filed. A lot of states don't have that authority to investigate. But in Missouri, it's also the grand jury can hear any type of case. But in St. Louis County, we take homicide cases, sex cases, and certain other cases, undercover operations, to the grand jury. And then almost everything else goes to a preliminary hearing.
All right, now we're going to take a quick break here and be back and talk about the media and the effect that they had on this case. When we come back, 253-5959, touch star 590 from AT&T, toll free from anywhere, 1-877-777-0590.
The news you expect, the balance you've asked for. News Talk 590 WVLK. Depend on it.
Good morning from the News Talk 590 WVLK Pharmacy Shop Information Center. I'm Scott Johnson. Here's what's happening. Trump, Fiorina, Rubio, Carson. That's the current top tier of candidates in the GOP, according to a new CNN WMUR poll of New Hampshire voters. Only one of the top four, Senator Marco Rubio, has ever held elective office. That's something Republican primary voters don't seem to care about in this election cycle. On the Democratic side of things, New Hampshire is definitely feeling the burn. Senator Bernie Sanders has jumped out to a double-digit lead over Hillary Clinton in New Hampshire, 46-30%. Did Pope Francis stop the next government shutdown? After the Pope addressed the joint meeting of Congress yesterday and said lawmakers needed to find ways to get along, House Speaker John Boehner said he would separate a measure to defund Planned Parenthood from a must-pass bill to keep government agencies open. Boehner will pitch the plan today in a closed-door meeting that will include some conservatives certain to be angry over the move. News at the top and bottom of the hour. Breaking news instantly. Depend on Lexington's news, weather, and traffic leader, News Talk 590 WVLK.
Here comes the weekend, and here comes the rain. We need it, but the timing's not that great. Scattered showers developing, especially late today and overnight. Upper 60s for the high, much cooler with those extra clouds around. Upper 50s tonight, back to the low 70s tomorrow. Rounds of scattered showers overnight through the day Saturday. Finally winding down late in the weekend with partly sunny skies and upper 70s Sunday. I'm meteorologist Tom Ackerman with your LEX 18 Storm Tracker 3-day forecast on your official weather station, News Talk 590 WVLK.
We do have sub-scattered rain around Kentucky at this hour here in Lexington. It's just cloudy and 61. At your official weather station, News Talk 590 WVLK.
Right now, traffic from the Scheller Automotive Traffic Center. Things are settling down as we get that earlier crash over on Man of War wrapped up near Dunbar High School. Trying to get things back to normal over on Leestown Road as well. Still have the restrictions over on Citation at Greendale. Only right turns from Greendale onto Citation or from Citation onto Greendale Road. You can't cross over because of the restrictions they've set up out there ahead of putting in that new traffic signal after all the problems we had out there. So continue to be careful in that vicinity. Right now, traffic from the Shell Automotive Traffic Center. I'm Brad Brunson, News Talk 590 WVLK.
Bluegrass Auto Body in their 50th year of service to Central Kentucky. The best auto body repair money can buy. I don't care where you go in the country. It doesn't get any better than Bluegrass Auto Body. Now, if you're involved in an accident that requires auto body work, a couple things we want you to know. Number one, you decide who does the work, not your insurance company. Doesn't matter who you do your insurance business with. And sometimes they sort of leave you with the impression that that's their decision. No, it's not. It's your decision. It's the law. Secondly, our friends over at Bluegrass Auto Body guarantee their work for as long as you own that car. So we have great confidence in telling you, go see our friends at Bluegrass Auto Body. They have been friends of mine and done, unfortunately for me, lots of work. I say unfortunately because it just proves what a crappy driver I am. But I've never been dissatisfied. They're always top-notch. I mean, the best. And if it's inconvenient for you to get in during the week, they're open half days at both locations on Saturdays. So you can go by tomorrow morning between 9 and noon. And you can pick up, you can drop off, you can get an estimate. All the things you can do during the week are taken care of on Saturday morning. So just remember, when someone runs into you, you need to run into Bluegrass Auto Body. Downtown, 1040 West High, 255-4040. The south location, Rusio Way off West Reynolds Road, next to the Meyer Store, 219-8080. Or log on to BG Auto Body.
This is Lori Grenier. You've seen me on Shark Tank hearing pitches from small businesses. Now there is a new way for small businesses to get a loan in minutes. It's called Cabbage. That's Cabbage with a K. Just fill out the application online. You'll get an instant decision and could have access to a line of credit of up to $100,000. No waiting, no hassle. Cabbage is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau and is a Forbes top 100 company. Go to Cabbage.com. That's Cabbage with a K. K-A-B-B-A-G-E. Or call 888-CABBAGE.
So have you ever heard the term ransomware? I'm Giff and this is Tech Trends. Well, ransomware is a nasty bug that you get from clicking on emails from people that you don't know. Or maybe you do know and they sent you a link to something terrific. Or their computer did it without them knowing it. Ransomware takes over your computer, encrypts all the files on it, and the only way to get it out and get your stuff back is to pay somebody a ransom. Could be a couple $100, could be well more than $1,000. And don't just think it's grandma and grandpa or you and me that gets caught by this. No, several U.S. police departments have actually paid ransoms to hackers after their computer systems were compromised by similar programs. Again, somebody clicking mindlessly on an email link. So be careful, especially this time of the year when people are using IRS logos and things like that to get people to click on stuff they shouldn't have. That's Tech Trends. Good luck out there.
Data transfer complete.
When the weather goes from fantastic to frightening, you need accurate, fast information. Depend on your official weather station. News Talk 590 WVLK.
All right, Bob, for your information, this is going to be a pretty long segment. I've stopped you two times real quick, but Bob McCall is with us. He's St. Louis County Prosecutor Ray Larson in the studio. Ray?
Bob, one of the things I've learned over the years is that the public has almost no knowledge about how a grand jury operates. They just think that the grand jury is handpicked by the prosecutor to do exactly what the prosecutor wants and that sort of thing. And it's always a shock to interns that work in our office that, guess what? Those people are randomly selected, and right, we're not in the room when they deliberate. So how does it work over in Missouri?
That is how it works, and you're right. We've done, as prosecutors, a lousy job in educating the public as to just what a grand jury is, and that really created some issues here when we had this going, because you were right. I saw all the talking heads on the 24-hour news show hey, the prosecutor, you know, they work for the prosecutor. This is, they can indict anybody. That's their job, to go in and get an indictment. And they're all wrong. Even the law professors who went on and did that. In Missouri, as just about anywhere else, the prosecutor has zero input in the grand jury, who serves on the grand jury. In our case, we don't know who's going to be on the grand jury until the judge hands me the list, which is about a week before the grand jurors are sworn in. And the only reason I get it then is so that we can take a look and see if we recognize somebody on there, which rarely happens, to say, well, yes, this guy, you know, I know this guy, so maybe he should or shouldn't be on, that sort of a thing. I'm not sure that's ever happened in the 25 years I've been doing this, but that's the only thing we have. The judge picks the grand jury. They're picked at random out of our regular jury pool, which is about 700,000 people. And so they're a great cross-section of the community. And the one thing people really don't understand, and most lawyers don't, is that it's an independent legal entity. I had one law professor say flat out, that what I should have done was thank the grand jurors for their service on that last day when they heard all the evidence, because it was clear there was no basis for an indictment. I should have thanked them, discharged them, and then made an announcement that I was not going to file charges. Well, he doesn't understand, of course, that I have no authority to discharge a grand jury. I can't do that. Legally, I can't do it. They're a separate entity. They don't answer to me. I'm their legal advisor. And so we presented that. We let them know that certainly we're going to bring all of this information and evidence in. But if you want to hear from a witness or if you want to recall a witness, just let us know. We'll make sure we get them in. They questioned every witness that came in. They had questions, I should say, for every witness who came in. And we presented everything that there was. We have an obligation as the only person in the grand jury, other than grand jurors, as a prosecutor, to present a full and complete picture. You know, the ethical standards for Kentucky, Missouri, and every other state for lawyers and prosecutors in particular say that we have an obligation to do that. When you add to that the National District Attorneys Association standards, which we all helped craft, Ray and I, and many, many others, say very specifically that the prosecutor in front of a grand jury has an obligation to present evidence that may negate guilt or it may mitigate the responsibility of anybody involved. And even the American Bar Association, Ray, I know you're a bigger fan of the ABA than I am, but the ABA standards for prosecutors say that, you know, a prosecutor has to be careful not to unduly influence a grand jury. They are a separate entity. They're the ones who make the decision, not the prosecutor. And the prosecutor has a responsibility to present any sort of exculpatory evidence in there for anybody, and has to be fair. So, you know, so the old nonsense about you can indict a ham sandwich, well, we certainly could if we wanted to skewer the evidence and present it in such a manner that it was unfair. But we don't do that. So we presented everything there was to the grand jury. And
you know, Bob, the interesting part is at the same time you're presenting these witnesses who are mm-hmm. under oath and come in and tell what they saw, what they heard, or what they smelled, any observation they had. The national media narrative is continuing to beat the drum of hands up, don't shoot, kind of thing. And it's what's happened is, if you read the report that the grand jury did, and guess what, the Civil Rights Division of the Department of Justice came up with the same conclusion. How did you deal with all that?
Well, it was there were two entities, for lack of a better term, that really aggravated the entire situation. One was the 24-hour news media. The other was the United States Department of Justice in Washington, D.C. They both, in their different ways, did nothing but fan the flames to try to keep a lot of the nonsense and controversy ongoing. Now, there are issues, of course, in policing and community relations, and I don't want to discount that. There are issues there that had to be addressed and are being addressed, and were even before this. But you know, the way the media, and again, it's a 24-hour media, handled this, you know, was just, I thought, disgraceful in a lot of cases, because they perpetuated this myth that that it was a hands up, don't shoot, which never happened. And then the Department of Justice out of D.C. aggravated the situation by constantly leaking information to the media and then complaining about it. You know, Eric Holder came to St. Louis, came to Ferguson, and, you know, didn't talk to the law enforcement who were on the street, but talked to whomever he talked to, certainly never talked to us. And then, you know, made a pronouncement that we're going to get justice for Michael Brown. We're going to do this, intimating that, of course, there was a problem there, that that he was, in fact, deprived of his civil rights. The good thing I have to say about the feds is the local feds here, the St. Louis field office of the FBI, the United States attorney, and the attorneys in that office could not have been better. They did a wonderful job. The, you know, the FBI flooded the area with agents to and immediately, so that they could talk to as many people as possible to gather as much information. The information that we got, see, the county police and sometimes witnesses would call the prosecutor's office directly, and we would interview them. Within an hour of the end of that interview, and they were all recorded, we provided them to the FBI and to the U.S. attorney. When the FBI did an interview, they recorded the interview. And within an hour of that, they provided that to us, and then we would make sure that the grand jury had it. So absolutely everything that the grand jury in St. Louis County heard within hours was given to the United States government, to the Justice Department. And there were separate investigations. There were, in effect, three: the grand jury, the police department, and the Justice Department doing those. There were three autopsies. The Justice Department did all of their own scientific tests, whether it was on DNA, the gunshot, the shell casings, any analysis that had to be done. They were all separate and all shared. The family even did a private autopsy, which was also shared, and that information was presented to the grand jury, and the feds had that. So when the grand jury made their, having heard all this information, made their determination on the 24th of November, the United States Department of Justice had every bit of information. And then it took them 101 days to come out with a report that said, by the way, everything that grand jury did and heard, we also looked at, and they were correct. We reached the same conclusion on everything.
Why did it take so
long? In the meantime... I'm sorry?
Why did it take so long?
It took so long for one reason. They'll never convince me otherwise, is that they wanted that 101 days. They needed that 101 days to complete their pattern and practice report, which is the one that destroys basically Ferguson. It's the one that went after Ferguson. It's really done incredible damage to that community. They uncovered some issues, no question about it, but they did their very best to bury Ferguson. And Ferguson is far from the worst community in St. Louis County. They would have been near the very top, the very best of the communities, because they were a thriving community. But once that report came out, it has really created some problems for them economically, not to mention all the riots and the looting that went on.
All right. Got to jump in here, Bob, and take a break. We'll be right back. It's 9:46, 14 before 10, and if you need a loan, there's no hassle at the castle. Biggest discounter of diamonds and fine jewelry. Here's the forecast. Increasing cloudiness, showers this afternoon. High temperature, low 70s. Tonight, cloudy, scattered showers, low of 60. For Saturday, mostly cloudy, scattered showers, and a high in the low 70s. And on Sunday, partly sunny, isolated showers, and a high in the upper 70s. Right now, it's cloudy and 61. At your official weather station, News Talk 590 WV.
This is Lori Grenier. You've seen me on Shark Tank hearing pitches from small businesses. Now, there is a new way for small businesses to get a loan in minutes. It's called Cabbage. That's Cabbage with a K. Just fill out the application online. You'll get an instant decision and could have access to a line of credit of up to $100,000. No waiting, no hassle. Cabbage is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau and is a Forbes top 100 company. Go to cabbage.com. That's Cabbage with a K. K-A-B-B-A-G-E. Or call 888-CABBAGE.
The Core. Everything good for your mind, body, and soul. The Core.
Uh-oh, consult the time. Have you been sitting for 90 minutes or more at this point? Get up, walk around. It's National Get Fit, Don't Sit Day. It's the American Diabetes Association's way of reminding us to get up and move around a few times every hour or so. They say the average American worker spends 5 hours and 41 minutes per day at work sitting. We can do better than that. Get up. Get moving, get fit, don't sit. That's the hashtag anyway, get fit, don't sit, on social media to highlight you and your company's activities and your commitment to health. Get your kids involved. This might be a great day to start some initiatives at work like sweat working. No, you don't have to exactly go to spin class for your next meeting, but get up and walk around. Have a walking meeting. The next time you're on the phone, pace. Don't just sit there. And when you get home from work, even if you have no choice but to sit all day, you do have a choice in the evening. Take a walk with the family. Gives you a chance to talk and open up while you get fit. That's the Core. It's brought to you in part by Walgreens Red Nose Day. Good laugh for a good cause. Buy your nose only at Walgreens and help lift children out of poverty.
Well, technology changes could cause you some problems. I'm Giff, and this is Tech Trends. Well, a couple of things. Google is changing its search engine. I mentioned this last week. So if your website for your business is not mobile-friendly, you need to get it that way. Because when somebody does a mobile search in Google, and if you're not mobile-friendly, you're not going to show up in the search results. So you might want to check that out. Number two, YouTube. On devices that were manufactured before 2013, so anything more than 2 years old, the YouTube app will no longer work. Also, if you have one of those set-top boxes like I do, I've got an all-in-one that's my streaming device and also my surround sound altogether. And there was a warning there the other day that said this app will no longer function after April 20-something. And the sad news is it's not like you could just go out and download a new app. They're just not going to work at all. There you go. It's Tech Trends. Good luck out there. And Tech Trends brought to you by the National Association of Realtors. Realtor.com is the most accurate home search site. Be sure to work with a Realtor to help you through the process. Realtor.com and Realtors. Together, we make home happen.
Listen to News Talk 590 WVLK live anywhere, anytime at WVLKAM.com.
News Talk 590 WVLK, Scott Johnson in the Information Center. House Speaker John Boehner says he will resign from Congress. We'll have details coming up for you at 10 o'clock here on News Talk 590 WVLK.
Wow. Bob McCullough is with us. Ray, let's wrap this up in the next 6 minutes.
Okay, Bob, so the grand jury issued its report, and the report of the St. Louis County grand jury was different than the national media narrative in this situation. Right. And how did that all play out?
You know, it didn't play out well, and I to this day I don't quite understand it. I know what kind of caused and led to that, but we, as I said, presented everything there was to the grand jury, absolutely everything. And we made sure, Ray, that anything we presented to the grand jury, that had there been an indictment coming out of the grand jury and a trial, that information, that evidence would have been admissible at the trial. So we weren't loading them up with, you know, with unfounded allegations or complaints. We took every statement that everybody made, whatever they made to the media, to the police, to the FBI, and the witness themselves, and that was all presented to the grand jury. And so they had everything that there was. I actually got accused by Anderson Cooper on CNN of confusing and overwhelming the jurors by providing all this information. So how can I be criticized for giving them all of the evidence and information? That just made no sense to me. But that was typical of the media, that 24-hour cycle, and then all the talking heads, the former federal prosecutor saying, well, you know, this is how it should have been done, this is the obligation, this and that. Of course, none of them have ever done this job, so they all became experts on it. So we decided and just plowed on and did what we were supposed to do. Now, we had to contend with all that. You know, there were 20 satellite trucks across the street. There were protests, outside, you know, demanding my removal from the case. We had no clarity on the issue from our attorney general, no political leadership in the state. The governor wouldn't even answer the question of, is McCullough, are you going to remove McCullough or not? He has the authority during a state of emergency, although our attorney general wouldn't make that clear. But then the governor never said anything. So, He didn't say, yeah, McCullough, you're the prosecutor, do what you're supposed to do, or you're out, I'm replacing you. So we just went about our business and did what we're supposed to do, and that's represent the people and present everything to the grand jurors and advise them of the law. And despite what you're hearing on or heard on television, we went about that. So there was no political leadership in this state, even in the county. And the problem is the narrative that was being put out there by the media is not what happened. We knew that, but that just wasn't going anywhere. And the night the grand jury made their announcement, I tried to do that in the statement that I put out, but that resulted in four lawsuits being filed against me. I think there's still one still pending, an ethics complaint by a woman who had been disbarred years ago. So it was all crazy, but I was very proud of the way the grand jurors handled this, the way my staff handled it, and that we just went on and said, look, here's what happened. And the federal government confirmed that ultimately later on. If you looked at Holder's statement, he spent about a minute and a half saying, here's what happened in Ferguson with the shooting. And then he spent 20 minutes saying, well, here's what caused it, and it's all these horrible things about Ferguson. He buried it. And that's what they needed that 101 days for. So it created a lot of problems here. Of course, we had the usual charlatans, the Al Sharptons of the world, our local versions of Al Sharpton. And they just fanned the flames and created the riotous situations that you saw. The governor failing to deploy the National Guard as promised, that didn't help. And then so many people in the community who were working so hard to calm things and to address these problems, they got no attention at all. There were some of the African American churches and the pastors who worked very hard at this and would not allow Al Sharpton or others to come to their congregation or their church and preach the hatred they were doing. But you never hear about those people. They worked very, very hard to do that, and they're still doing it, but you still don't hear about them. They're the real heroes in this, along with the grand jurors.
Well, let me say this. That was because we got just about a half a minute left. I want to say that when I saw that Bob McCullough was going to be presenting stuff to the grand jury, I know what kind of a person he is and what kind of integrity he has, and he's as good a person as there is in the country to do this and to take the crap that comes up, because it's a Bob. We were I watched very closely because I know you, and I know you presented the case to the grand jury, and the grand jury made the right decision regardless whether the media likes it or not. So thanks for being here with us.
Sure, appreciate it, Bob.
You're the man.
Well, thank you. Thanks for those kind words. And, I had a lot of support from a lot of people, not just prosecutors around the country and in our community here. They were very happy that we didn't just roll over and die. It would have been very easy to run away from this, but that would not have been the right thing to do. So thank you, and I appreciate you having me on and all the support.
Thank you very much, Bob. Stand by. We have an update from the Information Center.